You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. So deal with us according to your grace. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little study of the upper room, before Christ goes out to the cross to be crucified, he's only very few hours away from that happening. Now, keep in mind in the process, and well, let me do it differently. We have a little word called love, L-O-V-E. There's only four letters to it. It's not a big word. It's a very small word, about a very relevant word to the human heart. And therefore, when we use the word L-O-V-E, what do we mean? What do we mean? Love. And how is it defined? How is it to be understood? And therefore, how is it? Well, what is love? Love is that which a person, by way of history, their own experience, their understanding, love based on their background and everything else, that's what we're looking at, God's wonderful, wonderful love. Now, in the process of that, so love is a personal thing, underlined personal. Love is a personal thing. And it means what? It means whatever it means to a person. Not to any other person, but only to that person. Because their history, their experience, their background defines and translates what love is, whatever it is. And it's the person that is delivering that love. The whole person delivers based on their history, experience, understanding, whatever that word means. So therefore, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, when therefore, we have all kinds of ways to say it. We could say, I love ice cream. I love ice cream. I don't. I don't love ice cream. I like ice cream. But I don't love it. Because it can't love me. The average banana split never loves me. It just doesn't do it. I talk to it and look down at it. It just never talks to me. So now, love. We love. We love my dog. I love my dog. I love love. And we use the word, and people do in one form or another. It always is based on what you, your history is, your understanding, and your experience. It's never more than that, no matter how you cut the cookie, because it's your love. The love belongs to your person. Not to another person. So whatever it means to the person. So therefore, I love and you love, and we do that, understandably. But our loving, I'll do it if it's all right, Jeanette, it's all right. I love Jeanette, and Jeanette tells me that I better love her. And she does that. So she tells me that. So I say I love her. What she's thinking about love is totally different than mine from a human standpoint, because her history and her experience is one thing. Mine is another. And so whenever we're talking about loving each other, it's based on what the other person's thinking. And I receive the word love, and you translate it based on what you think. You don't do it what I think, whatever it means to me. No, it's what it means to you. So we transfer love this and love that, and we do it. And it's a personal thing based on our person. And it can't be more than that, because it's a person. It's how you feel. And we use it in all kinds of ways and means all kinds of things. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so now, I need that. Because it's personal, it's always personal. You're talking about your love, aren't you? Your love. Well, whatever your love is, based on your background, history, feelings, fears, faults, everything else. So we have that. Now, so when it comes to God, we talk about love, and we talk about being loved and wanting love, and we do that, understandably. And we do it. And it's always based on what we're looking for, what we're after, and what we want to understand, and what we want. Jeanette could say, I love you. And then I could say, well, I want you to love me like I think love is. But she isn't going to do that because she don't know what I think. So what are we doing? Well, we don't want. I don't want to jump ahead. Here we are looking. So what are we going to do? Everyone's loving based on what they feel and what they think and what they, and no matter how you cut the cookie, that's all it is. It can't be more than that. It can't be. So you have to say, well, what's a person mean? What's it mean to the person? Who knows? Mean nothing in the comparison. Now, so God, here we are looking. What are we going to do, God? That's the real problem. We've got that. And I don't read in the works of the flesh love. Do you ever read Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21? And Mark 7, 18, 23? Find the word love in there. You won't find it. You won't find it. No, us humans don't have that kind of stuff. We use it, understandably, we use it. No, and there's nothing wrong with it. Better that than hate, you know. But, now God, you got to help us. So that's what we want to do now. We want to look, if we can, and God in your most wonderful, wonderful way. And remember now, one other thing I should say in all of this, in the process of being loved and accepting love, receiving love, it's based on what we think and feel about love. Whether we receive your love or not is based on what I want your love to be to me. And if I think your love is no threat to me, and I think if it accommodates whatever, I will receive it. Otherwise, I reject your love. I don't want that love. So, God, here we are. And so therefore, we pick and choose love. And no matter how you cut the cookie, that's what we do. And we let people love us. Now, hang on to that. We let people love us, or we reject people's loving us. We reject it. They want to help us. And they say, well, I wish she didn't do that, but she just wanted to help you. And you wish she hadn't done that. But she did it, and she did it out of love, because she wanted to help me, see? We use that. All of that's part of our human life. John chapter 15. God, you got to help us looking at the reality of things. So let me go to John chapter 14 first. John chapter 14, if I can, in verse 31. Our Lord in the upper room, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now, I want you to notice the verb. Jesus said, why are you saying, why are you doing, why did you come, why were you born in Bethlehem of Judea? That the world may know that I love the Father. I love the Father. Hang on to that. Chapter 15. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me. Eris, timeless, it means forever. All that never stopped, never had, always kept going. As the Father hath loved me, I love the Father, and the Father loves me. What do you mean? I'm going to let God the Father, in his wonderful person, exercise his wonderful thinking, feeling, being. I'm going to let him be everything that he is to me. And I am going to receive everything that he has to give me. I love him, a person. I love him. And my Father loves me. What do you mean? God, the Father. God is being God. When you let God love you, you're letting God be God. The same as a person. Only in this time, we aren't talking about humans. We're talking about God. God is love in his awesome being. He's a person. So you're looking for something. No, you aren't going to get it. It's a person. And the person is going to, and you're looking for God to be the person to you that he is. Not something that he isn't, what he is. He loves you, person. You got to go to a person, human. Now you got to go to God. You want to know what love is? God is love. God is loving. God is being God. That's love. Hang on. Now, in the process of that, and God loves me. So John chapter 14 and verse 20. And you will note, we share these on the upper room, so that at that time, verse 20, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Love is a unique, awesome relationship between persons. A wonderful letting one person be everything to the other person, of everything in their mind. Now, us humans have an old nature, so that doesn't go very far. And we can't trust that. And I don't. I don't love Jeanette like that at all. I don't. I can only love her in God's love. That's what God said to do. As I am loving you, you are loving me. And you're letting me love you. And as you let me love you, I want to be in you loving others. So why can't I want you to love me as I love me and love others? What do you mean loving others? God loves others. How can you let God love you without loving others? It's God's love, not your love, not your love of like somebody or don't like somebody. No, it's nothing to do with that. Not a thing. We use it. We talk like that. But it isn't about that. Not at all. It's about an awesome relationship to God. And God, we're going to go and look to you. And as we look to you, you're going to be in the place, chapter 15, and in verse 9. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. I just love you. Before the foundation of the earth was ever, before anything was ever created, I had you in mind. Before you were ever existed, I had you in mind. I love you. I've been loving you all the way down the line. Till you were born in this 20th century, 21st century and all of that. Now, so here we are looking. And verse 9. And I want you, since I love you like that, I want you to see the word continue. It is the word abide. Abide, dwell, continue, remain, all the same four English words to describe abide. And therefore, as the Father had loved me, verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue, abide in my love. I want you to find your home abiding in my love. Not your love. Not your love to me. I want you to find your home in my loving you. I want you to abide. Do you understand? I love you before you were ever created. I want you to let me love you. Not about your love. I love him. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has the fact that God created you before the foundation of the world. And he loves you. And he loves you. What are you asking God? For the believers to abide, what? In their love. To live in your love. We live in the room. We live in the air. We live in God. Abide in God. His wonderful person. And God's wonderful person in all of his attributes, all of them are at the same time, God's person, is loving, hating, judging, doing everything, as it were. So God, here we are in the middle of this. Wonderful. Wonderful. We're in the middle of you. That's right. And you want us to understand you. You have a relationship with us to what? To love us. Say that again, God. I want to be your God. I created you. I died for you. I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for you, for the sheep. I'm God. I want to be God to you. I want you to abide in that fact that I am God to you right now. What God? What God? Where is God? God, where? No, no, you don't have to do that. No, the unsaved do that. The darkened mind does that. People in a state of death do that. But you don't do that. You know better. You can escape my presence. Therefore, I want you to abide in my love in a most awesome way. Over, if you would please, to chapter 13 for a moment. When God started the upper room with his disciples, when he started, he said something. And you remember it when we did it, maybe. Chapter 13, if you would, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour, crucifixion, was coming, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, to the completion. God, here they are, even Judas is there, and here they all are, 12 of them. Wow. I loved you before you ever were created. I loved you all the way, and by the way, I'm going to love you all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to do it all the way to the end. God, are you going to do that? I am. I'm going to make all of that real so that you can experience, you can enjoy God by knowing him as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, how can you know the love of God if you don't know God? You don't. You don't know love until you know God. And when you're knowing God, you're knowing love. He's a person. So when I let God love me, I'm going to let God love me. That's what he's saying. Abide, find your home, find your place in God, in the middle of God's love. So I never have to say, and people do, and often that is a whole lot of the stuff out there in the computer world and the electronic world and the junk world, Facebook and all that stuff. In all of that, all different things, is much of it is found, you find things that are communicated and people are reading them and thinking about them and that, and they come up with who knows what they think, what they feel. No one loves me. No one cares. Why doesn't someone care? Love me. You can never say that. You can never say that. Because you know better. God has loved you before you were ever created. And he's loving you right now. And no one can ever say, no one loves me. God does. God does. Right now. What do you mean God does? He wants to be God and your Savior and your Lord and your Shepherd and a zillion other things. Right now. That's love. That's God. And that's how I love Jeanette. God's love. I want God's best for her life. And the best for her life is God. That's love. What do you think? That's how I love you. Like that. No, I don't like that. Why don't you be a buddy and a friend? And no, I don't want to be a buddy. I want to be a pain in the neck to you, that you would know him and honor him. And we are all replaceable, but he is never replaceable. All our love is puny, stingy, and nothing. But his is something else. So now, keeping that in mind, I want you to go. I want you to abide in my love, not your love to me. I want you to abide in that and continue in that. A state, a standing. I want the love, it's there. I am loving you. I have been loving you. You want to be loved all the way down the road. And God the Father said, and hang on. So if you didn't catch that much, catch the first part. As the Father is what? Verse 9. As the Father is loving me, he said. Hang on to that. You have to think about that, don't you? God the Father loving God the Son. I love you like that. Now do something with that one. I love you like that. That's how I love you, like my Father loves me. Abide in that love. Find your home. It's an awesome thing. Oh, really can't be that much. No one cares. And my old nature rejects that. My old nature wants to be me and have what I want the way I want it. I want to be able to love my husband, my wife, my kids, my job, my home, my country, whatever. I want to love it as I choose to love it. That's the trouble. And our choice to love isn't good enough. It isn't going to sustain us. Therefore, verse 10, John chapter 15. And in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. I got to tackle that one. I got to understand that. If I keep, if and I may or may not do it, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide. There's your little word, abide, continue, in my love. So, God, I have to do something to abide in it. I don't make it. Now, outside is the sunshine. And the sunshine is there, up in the sky, wherever we are, day or night even, there's the sunshine. Does your walking in the sun make the sun shine? What do you do to make the sun shine? Nothing. You do nothing. What do you do to make God love you? Your obedience doesn't make him love you. Do you understand that? He loves you because he's God. And God is love. It has nothing to do with you. Abide in my love. Well, if I love him. No, the sun is going to be. You don't create the sun. You don't make the sun shine. And you can turn it off, do whatever you want to close your eyes. The sun is existent because it's there. God is there and he loves, period. And we either going to enjoy the sunshine or we don't. Either we enjoy God or we don't. We're in his presence. Over, if you would, please. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. God, now hang on to that. I don't know if we can get all this. Even as I have kept, guarded, heeded my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. Well, how did you abide in his love? I abided in his love by honoring his word. I honor his word. What do we do? Verse 7, 15 and 7. What do we know? If, and you may or may not, abide in me, and not only you're in me, God, but my words find a home, abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. A wonderful, wonderful what? God, the words. The words. Now, God, I need to understand that. Because why? You are the word. Remember, while turning there, John 14, John 1 and 14, and the word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, 1, 2, 3. And the word was God, the word is God, the word is God. Now, God, what did you do? God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what you did. Now, when God became flesh and dwelt, how did God show himself in the wonderful, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ loved God. God loved him, and he loved God. He was going to let God be God. How am I going to let God be God? By his word. How am I going to understand God? By his word. Over to, we're coming back here just to exercise and keep you awake. Over, if you would, to Revelation. And Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation in chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in thought. So God, when the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity, deity, loved God and God loved him. And he kept his word. He kept his commandments. He kept his word. Why would he keep his word? Because that was his assignment, to keep his word. And what about him? What about our Lord? Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and ending of the alphabet, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I'm the alphabet. Hang on to that. What do you do with the alphabet? What would you do without the alphabet? How would you say anything? How would you write anything without the alphabet? It's true, you and I talk, but that's because we know words that are in the alphabet. You can't say something that isn't there. You can't say it. Next time you go to a dictionary, find the blank page and say what's on the blank page. Is that all right? I'm trying to help you. Find a blank page and say what's on it. How can you say what's on it when there's nothing on it? You have to have a word, alphabet. Jesus Christ is the language. Back over to John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, may I pick up, please. In verse, you remember we were there, John 5, and our Lord makes it very clear in the verse 37, 6, 5, excuse me, 5 and 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for which he has sent him, for whom he has sent him you believe not. You don't believe the Lord. The Lord is the word of God become flesh. But you don't believe that. Verse 39. Search the scriptures, Old, New Testament, for in them You think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's about me. So what am I going to do? God said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I kept your word. I am the word. I am the word. How can I be existence, said the Lord, in his perfect humanity? I represent the word become flesh. So I have to, when I talk, I talk my words, my everything. It's about you, God. I represent you. You love me. And you, your thinking is back to humans. It's what they think and feel and understand. That's how they're loving. Good or bad, much or little. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. When you're all done. Wow. But God, so I'm going to let you love me. God, you are love. You're going to go what? And be God. In your words, your thoughts, your deeds, your works, the wonderful person that you are, you're going to be that person in our person. We're to abide as a vine, as the branch and the vine abides, finds its home comfortably in your wonderful person, in your awesome presence. Wow, you're going to do that. I am, said God. Now, picking up and keeping that in mind as my Father, the Word. So God, you've given us the Word. And without turning there in Luke and all of that, 24, God said, how can you read, and this is after his resurrection. So he's standing in front of them, resurrected, and he's helping them. They're looking at him, resurrected. They're looking at him. He said, let me help you. Now, you want to understand why I'm standing in front of you in a perfect resurrected body, which is awesome. I do. Now, God said, listen, I want you to go, and when you read the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Prophets, the Pentateuch, then when you read the Bible, it's all about me. Luke 24, 44, and 45. It's all about me. So how are you going to understand? I'm standing in front of you. Read my word. It'll help you understand who I am. I have kept the commandments of God. For what? To know him. To know what about him? He loves me. Who loves me? God does. God does. When did he stop loving me? He never did. What do you think hell is? God in his wonderful person, holy, righteous, and all of that that we did in Sunday school and that. All of those things. What is love? It's all part of God all at once, the whole being. God is God, holy, righteous, just, loving. That's right. Now, God, what's love going to do? Well, what's the best thing love can do? If you reject God, hell, love is the best thing they can do for people that reject God. Love sends them to hell. What are you going to do? Question, no. No, I created them. I loved them. I died for them. They don't want me. I love them. I never stop loving them. Think of all the scriptures, Love your enemies. Love those that hate you. That's what you do. And in the process of loving, in God's wonderful, the only thing I can do is send them to the lake of fire. That's what I do. Love, if you reject love, love says, I have to do this. I don't want to. I died to save you. But as God, you see, I'm holy, and I created you with a spirit to last forever, like angels. The dogs, the cats, the pyramids, the cities, all of them are going to disappear. I'm going to make a whole new heaven, a whole new earth, a whole new everything. Whoops! All brand new. Except you. I'm going to save you. Out of the whole thing, I'm going to eliminate the whole thing, but I'm going to save you. Now, either you're going to be in heaven or hell. That's all. I love you. I died for you. Now, take your pick. I don't want you. Then you won't have me. You won't have me. But I love you anyway. And love has to do something, you see. It has to do something. If I can't save you, I judge you. Wow. Now, And I'll read verse 10 then and complete. If and you may not keep you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Even as, according as, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How can I not honor the word of God, the words that I speak? Hold on to your finger here. Slide over to chapter 12. I didn't mean to go that fast, but hope you got a little bit. Odds and ends here. Chapter 12. Over, if you would, please. Picking up, please, in verse 48. I'm going to read verse 47. If any man, they may or may not hear my words, believe and believe not. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, thy word, keep my commandments, and you'll love me, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at that last day. For I have spoken of myself, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. Now, God, what did you do? I kept your word. I am the word. I allowed you to be my God, to love me. For who, what's going to show up? God's wonderful love in saving you is going to show up. God, who created you and died for you. Verse 50. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Back over to chapter 15. And in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, and you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that's how you're going to do it. You're going to honor. How am I going to ever, God, how am I going to understand? By the Bible. I read the Bible. I read the words, Old Testament, New Testament. And God, you're going to help me understand in a most wonderful way about your wonderful person. And therefore, God, you're going to do that. And just as the, I'm going to honor your word. I read your word. We read the Bible. I told that we shared us for us help. We're to believe the whole Bible. We aren't going to understand it all. So be of good cheer. It isn't for your understanding without a little time and effort, and then you'll get it. But boy, believe it and read it, because God took time to say it. Read it. And when you read it, who wrote it? God did. God, you're saying it. So I can't read the Bible without thinking about God. Or can I read the daily bread in the Bible without ever thinking about God? That's the trouble. I can do it without God. Oops. I don't want to do it without God. That's why the Lord had to correct the Jews. What are the Jews doing? The Pharisees are busy with the Bible like something fierce, but you know what? They didn't know him. So being in the Bible doesn't make it work. It's letting the Bible get into you and help you understand God said something to say, and he said it. And you're God conscious. The Pharisees weren't God conscious. They were self-conscious to make their righteousness just good enough that God would have to honor it. And it could never be good enough. Never, 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 ever good enough. It won't make it. Therefore, God, here we are. Over, if I can, over in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, Gospel of John, 1 John. John continues, and 1 John chapter 2, if I can, 1 John chapter 2. May I slide right down to verse 3? I got to read verse 2 a little anyway. 1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. He satisfies our sin. The penalty for our sin is death. But, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of what? The whole world. So the whole world, that's right, I died for the whole world. I love the whole world. I did that. Now the world may not do anything, but I do. I do love them, and I did die for them. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him. How are we going to know him if we keep his commandments? How can you possibly enjoy God if you don't understand God? That's why in Sunday school with the righteousness and holiness and all that, if you don't review it every now and then, the average person going to church, they have no thought of God. Come on. I wouldn't want to go by there thinking about God. Not 9 times out of 10, I bet you they aren't doing it. It isn't that it isn't they have good thoughts. It isn't on target. God is most holy and awesomely sovereign. And boy, you speak of God and you talk about God, another tone. You don't mess around. And yet he's our Father. My Father. Your Father. Yeah. That gives it. Now, 1 John chapter 2. If we keep his commandments, verse 3. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth, the little word keep is the same word as you have in John chapter 15, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, verse 5, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. How so? By honoring his word. How can we keep thinking about God without understanding God? The more I think about him, the more I think, the more I understand. You know? Wow. You know, using a silly illustration, human, I had opportunity to know my wife a little bit out there, and I did that. I know her, and whatever. And I ended up getting married, and I got married. Now, I knew her. I knew what she would like to eat at lunch and what she didn't eat at lunch. I knew that because I took her to lunch. But you know what? When I got married, I started to know her. I started to know her. I started to know her. Wow, what a job it is to know her. God, when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, and I read the Bible, I'm conscious of God. The more I'm conscious of God, the more I know God. The more I know God, the more conscious I am of God. And what am I doing? You're letting God love you. That's what you're doing. You're letting God love you. I know we're talking strange pie in the sky out apart from here. I know that, generally speaking. Wow. I'm just trying to tell you what it's about. It isn't about your job or your social life or your financial life or your physical life. It's about a unique relationship to God that he's made possible for you to know him and to abide, continue in his love. What do you mean? To continue to let God love you. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you would recall, if I can, picking up in verse Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who maketh intercession for us? Who, verse 35, who shall separate us? Separate us from what? The love of Christ. Shall, what did you say in John 15 to the disciples? They were to what? To make sure they were abiding in the love, in my love, in Christ's wonderful love. That's what they're to abide in. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. We're killed all the day long, so boy, it doesn't look like anyone loves you. No one. What do you mean? God loves you. Now, it's one thing to have people talk about love, but to say, really, do you really believe God, whoever he is and wherever he is, do you believe he really is loving you? How could you look at your life? How can it be? They look, wow, wow. Verse 36, and it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. Why couldn't we be a wolf or a big bear? No, you're sheep. What a sheep. Sheep get pushed, stepped on, pushed on, and sheared. Wow. That's what they get. You aren't a sheep. You aren't a lion. You aren't a bear. You're a sheep. I leave you in the world. I leave you in the world. I love you. I'm loving you. I'm plain old loving you. Do you understand? And by the way, I'm letting all that happen. Verse 35, 37. Nay, in all these things, in all, A-L-L, these things, we are more than conquerors, over and above and beyond, exceeding, beyond our reach. We are more than conquerors through him that, what? Is loving us. He's loving us. Uh-huh. Loving us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Nothing can separate us. No. Wow. Now God, all that. Now God said, listen, I told you to abide. I didn't ask you to go by the weather. I didn't ask you to go by your feelings. I didn't ask you to go by your fears. I told you I want you to abide, enjoy my loving you right now. That's what I want. In closing, over to Romans 5. Therefore, we are killed all the day long, etc. Romans chapter 5. You know it. It leads into Romans chapter 8, picking up chapter 5 and verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, pressure squeezing, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And patience bearing up under the load produces a wonderful experience. How could you ever know unless you go through it? The College of Hard Knocks. How could you ever know if I'd made you super duper on some planet out in space? How would you ever know? I'm leaving you in the world, not of it. I'm leaving you in there to get clipped, clobbered, and have to experience your old nature. It hates me and your choice of allowing me to be your God and Savior to love you. And I'm leaving you there to discover, does God really love me? And you fall down and hurt your nose and break something? God didn't change. The world does bad things and funny things, work and home and job. But you know what? It didn't change God's love. It didn't change God. I got the news. It didn't change God. God isn't worried. God isn't even concerned. He understands. Mm-hmm. Therefore, experience. Verse 5. Verse 4, experience, and experience produces a wonderful hope, anticipation, expectancy. And hope, anticipation, expectancy, maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And God is going to be, God is love, God the Holy Spirit, Romans 15 and that, loves you. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The Spirit of God. God said, I love you. And my Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's his assignment to bring my love by way of Calvary's cross. My Son died on the cross to make possible for me to love you with all of my heart. Jeremiah, with all of my heart and soul. God only says that once, with all my heart and soul. Now what am I going to, I'm my friends and people, and no, I'm all caught up in humans. That's too bad. Get caught up in God. He said, I'll love you right now. Tonight I'll love you. When you're falling off the cliff, I love you. When you're taking your medicine, I love you. When you got your body functioning, I'm loving you. What could happen? A zillion things could happen. But you're loving me. And it has to come out. Think of Sunday school. It has to come out right. Just has to come out right. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with our heads and our hearts, that we would be the beneficiaries of your wonderful person, that we would honor you and know you the better. And God, we stumble through all of this. It's not part of our human world. It's not found in the world system in which we live, which we are part of. God, it's found in your wonderful person. So God, help us very much that we would look to you to let you, who are love, to let you be God in all of your wonderful grace and mercy and kindness and patience, God, to love us. Thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for your long suffering. Thank you very, very much. God, just God, thank you. A big thank you. Thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.